you to go to Romans chapter number 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and Romans is where we'll be there in our New Testament. Romans chapter number 6. And we're going to read the first 14 verses here in the chapter this morning. All right. Well, if you were here last week, you know that we started our series together called The Walking Dead. And we looked at part one last week. So today we're actually going to look at part two of that very same series, The Walking Dead, part two. Last week we asked the question, what can a dead man do? And we answered the question, of course, that's nothing. The question that I want to ask this morning is, can a dead man sin? Can a dead man sin? Romans 6, verses 1 through 14. If you have a pen, what you can do is you can underline every time you see the word dead, death, or die, and you'll be underlining a lot. Because basically this is what this chapter is about. It's about death. So Romans 6, verse number 1, the Bible says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 14 is a great verse. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. And that's where we'll stop this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we do come to You today. And Father, we just thank You for the good service that we've had so far. And God, I just pray that right now that You would just take the words that You have spoken, that You have preserved, that You have written down for us. And God, I pray that You would work them into our heart. God, the only thing I can do is reach people's ears today. God, only Your Holy Spirit can reach a heart. Father, right now, I just pray that You would search us out. I pray that You would seek out our hearts. And God, I pray that You would speak to us. You know that I'm very incapable of doing this morning. I have no power. I have no ability to do what You've called me to do right now. But God, I just pray that You would take this and bless it in a way that only You can do, God. And we'll walk out praising You and giving You the glory for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Verse 1 says, shall we continue in sin? He's writing to Christians this morning, and he asked the all-important question that is needed to be asked today to Christians in the year 2020. Shall we live? Shall we remain? Or shall we continue in sin? And the reason this question is asked is because in Romans chapter number 3, 4, and 5, he has just told us that you and I are not saved. We are not going to heaven because we're good people. We're not going to heaven because of the good deeds that we do. We are going to heaven because we have one time put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when a person trusts in Christ, the Bible tells us they're saved, they're born again, they're given a home in heaven, and all of those things today are things that cannot be taken away. They're reserved for us. And therefore, when we get to chapter 6, Paul anticipates the question that is going to arise because of this doctrine. And really the question is this: since what we do or how we live does not affect our eternal destiny, can we just live however we want to live? Should we live? Should we continue in sin since our deeds don't affect whether we go to heaven or to hell? Can we live in sin? And I'll answer that question with another question. The nation of Israel was slaves to the Egyptians for 430 years. And God, of course, set them free through the blood of the Lamb. God set them free by splitting the Red Sea in half and taking them through the Red Sea to the other side. He freed them from their chains. And here's the question: was it God's will for them to go back to Egypt and be slaves again? No. It was not God's will for them to go back and be slaves again. And in the very same way, church, when God saves us from our sin, He didn't save us so we'd live in it. He saved us so we'd be free from it. So Paul says to this question, verse 2, God forbid. Shall we live in sin? And the answer is, God forbid. And it is obvious this morning that the devil doesn't want me to preach on sin, so that's okay. There's a lot of doctrines going around today that we want to come to church and just feel good. As long as the preacher stands up and tickles your ears and makes you feel good as you walk out, and you know that you're a better person when you walk out, man, that's coming to church. But sometimes the Bible wants to tell us that no, we're not that good of people. Sometimes we don't need to be lifted up, but sometimes the Bible needs to do something to us to humble us. And that's exactly what God has called me to do here today. And I'm sorry. But don't get mad at me. This is just the Word of God, okay? But let's get it clear this morning. Even after we get saved, Brother Johnny, there is no such thing as a sinless Christian. How many of you know even after we get saved, we are going to sin? Somebody say amen right there. But here's a huge but. And this is a big but to that statement. Sin is not to have dominion over us. We are not to live our lives defeated by sin, but we as children of God who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit are actually to have dominion over sin. And we are to live victoriously over sin in our lives. So often that's not the case, is it? So often, rather than us defeating sin, sin defeats us. Rather than us having dominion over sin, sin has dominion over us. But I want you to know this morning, church, that if you've been saved, if you've been born again, if you're a child of God and you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, it is not God's will for you to be bound up in your sin. But it is God's will for you to be free from your sin. Now, how is that done? That's the question this morning. How in the world are we going to be set free from sin, even as Christians that hold us down when we're defeated by it? Before we get into the message today, I need you to do something right where you're seated. All right? I want you to ask yourself this question. What is the one sin in my life that keeps defeating me? Let me say this. It doesn't matter what stage of the Christian life you're in, there's usually always one. There is always one sin that you and I struggle with, and usually day to day we always seem to be defeated by that sin. What is it? What is the one sin that keeps you down, and the one sin that you look at and say, man, if I could just get rid of this in my life, I know I would be a happier person. What is it? You got it? I want you to hold it right there in your mind. Because what I'm going to do today is I'm not going to give you my advice. I'm not going to give you my opinion. I'm not going to give you a lecture. I'm going to give you exactly what the Word of God says in order for you and I to overcome that sin in your life. So today, that's exactly what we're going to do. Number one, I want you to see you need to be informed of our position. In order to overcome your sin, you need to be informed of your position. Verse 2 says, how shall we that are dead to sin? So he just said, we as Christians are dead unto sin. I want you to look at verses 3, 6, and 9. Verse 3 starts out with the word no. Verse 6 starts out with the word knowing. Verse 9 starts out with the word knowing this. So it's obvious here in this passage, Paul wants us to know something. He wants us to be informed of a fact, and that fact is who we are in Christ. Because church, if the devil can keep us ignorant of who we are in Christ, he can keep us defeated to our sin. So Paul first wants us to know our position in Christ. And our position is this. We're dead. We are dead. Verse 2, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now this is not before we've got saved. Remember last week we said before we got saved we were dead in trespasses and sins. This is after we have been saved. The Bible says we are dead. So there's something in us, if you're saved right now, that is dead. You say, how in the world does that happen? Look at verse 3, he'll tell you. Know ye not, this is something you need to know, that so many of us as were baptized, stop right there. Does the next few words say, as many of you as were baptized in water? Is that what it says? When you were baptized in water, you were saved. No, that's not what it says. It doesn't say baptized in water. It says baptized into Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean to not be baptized in water, but to be baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ? This is an illustration of what happened when you and I got saved. And it has to do a little bit with being baptized in water. Okay, I want you to think about this. When we go up there and I baptize someone in water, what that means is literally this. I take them and I put them in water. Very simple. That's what baptize means, to put you in something. So when I baptize someone with water, I put them in water. So what verse 3 is saying, when you and I got saved, when you and I trusted Christ, what the Holy Spirit did was He took us and put us in Jesus Christ. And you see, that's something that a lot of people didn't probably tell you when you got saved. This is what everybody told you when you got saved. Jesus lives on the inside of you. Jesus is in you. And that's exactly the truth. But what they didn't tell you is not only is Jesus in you, you're in Jesus. John 14:20 says, in that day that the Holy Spirit comes, you shall know that I am in the Father, you are in me, and I am in you. That is the Christian life. I in you and you in me. Well, what's the significance of that? I know Jesus lives in me, but what's the significance of me being in Jesus? And I'll tell you, I can't remember the name of this movie. Some of you may once I talk about it. But I saw this movie one time, and there were two completely different guys, all right, living completely different lives, but they switched lives. All right? I want you to listen to this. Dude number one over here, he was rich. He had nice clothes, a nice home, a nice job, a nice wife, and a nice bunch of kids. All right, that's dude number one. That's what we're going to call it. Dude number two didn't even have a home. He didn't hardly have any money. He didn't have a job. He didn't have a family. He didn't have anything. But you know what happened in the movie? They switched bodies. All right? They literally switched bodies. So you know what that means? Everything dude number one had now became dude number two's. Why? Because he was put into his body. He was put in him. Therefore, everything that was his now became his. Some of you ain't getting it. That's okay. Church, that is exactly what happened when we got saved. We were nothing. We had nothing. But what God did was He put us in the Lord Jesus Christ so that whatever is His now becomes ours. Isn't that good? Whatever is Christ now becomes ours because we are literally put into the body of Christ so that whatever's His is now ours. But in the context of this verse, that's what it means to be baptized into Christ. You're put in Him so that whatever is His is now yours. In the context of these verses, what that means is this. You ready? Because I am in Him, whatever happened to Christ happened to me. Whatever happened to Christ happened to me. Therefore, guess what? When Christ died,
I died.
When Christ rose, I rose. And when Christ ascended to the Father, I ascended. So much so that the Bible says spiritually, you and I have been raised from the dead and we have been raised to sit with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? Because wherever He is, that's where I am. So when Christ died, you ready? So did Justin. When Christ died, so did Brother Johnny. When Christ died, so did you, Brother Danny. Verse 3 says, we've been buried with Him by baptism into death. Verse 5, we've been planted together in the likeness of His death. Verse 3, baptized into His death. You see that? He died and so have we. Verse 6 really boils it down for us. Knowing this, there's something else you need to know. Our old man was or is crucified with Him. You see that? We were crucified with Him. We know there was three men on Calvary that were crucified, but did you know that every single believer was likewise crucified that day too? Because we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, who is the old man? He is our sin nature. And the Bible says it is He that was put to death. It is He that has died when we came to Christ. Why? Verse 6, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse 7, for he that is dead is free from sin. I'm going somewhere with this. The Bible tells you over and over right here in the first 6 verses, we are dead. Why? Because he that is dead is free from sin. You ready? What's the significance of that? That you and I are dead spiritually. Let's say there's a man who is a slave literally his whole entire life. Every day he wakes up, he has a master that says, you need to do this, when to do it, how to do it. I mean, in this slave, he's got chains on his feet. He's got the whole 9 yards, okay? You got that picture in your mind? He's a slave. He gets told what to do every hour of every day of his life. Now, let's say that slave dies. Do you know what he's no longer, Miss Carol? If he dies, he is no longer a slave. If his master comes to his funeral and looks at his body and says, get up, it's time to go to work, do your task, do your job, do your duty, what's going to happen? Does he have an obligation to obey him now? No, because he's dead. And he is no longer under his master's power. See, where I'm going with that is, church, we as Christians, before we got saved, we had a master and it was sin. We were slaves to our sin, yet the Bible says, guess what? We have died. We have died with the Lord Jesus Christ and have been positionally set free from our bondage to sin, and sin has now lost its power over you and me. That's something that a lot of people have never taught their whole entire life. That sin no longer has power over a child of God because you're dead to it. You are dead indeed unto sin. But secondly, look at what it says in verse 8. You are alive unto God. Not only are you dead to sin, you are alive unto God. The Bible says when He died, we died. So guess what? When He rose, we rose. Verse 8. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. And I like this. Death hath no more dominion over Him. Jesus died one time and He never has to do it again. And the Bible says death no longer has dominion over him because He overcame death. And in the same exact context, church, when He overcame death, when He rose from the dead, we spiritually have already done the same thing. We have already rose and overcame death. Verse 4 says, because of this, we should walk in newness of life. You get that? We as Christians should not live the way we used to live. We as Christians should live a new life. Now, church, this is something that we've missed about Jesus' death on the cross. This is something we've missed our entire lives. Won't you say amen if you agree with this, Brother Danny? You ready? Jesus' death on the cross set us free from the penalty of sin. Amen. You know what that means? Because Jesus died on the cross, Brother Johnny, I don't have to go to hell. And I praise God for that. But you know what we have missed about Jesus' death on the cross? It's not only did His death set us free from the penalty of sin, you ready? It set us free from the power of sin as well. Meaning, because He died on the cross and rose again, He overcame death, He overcame sin, and the Bible says it no longer has dominion over Him. And church, because of that, it no longer has dominion over us either. Verse 14 says, sin shall not have dominion over you. You see, because I'm a Christian, I've already overcome hell. Because I'm a Christian, I've already overcome death through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't have to go to hell for 1 second. I don't even have to experience death, but for a millisecond, because it has no dominion over me because of the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, in the same way I've overcome hell, in the same way I've overcome death, is the same way I can overcome sin. I can live victoriously over sin in my life through the same power of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, what the gospel of Christ does is not only give us a home in heaven, the gospel of Christ ought to change the way we live on earth. You can say amen to that if you want to. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ not only changes our heavenly destination, it ought to change the way we are right now. That's who we are as saved children of God. We have died to sin, and we are now alive to God. But the question is this, Brother Johnny. If that's who we are, if we've been set free from the power of sin in our lives, question is, well, why in the world are we defeated by it nearly every day? Why in the world, if Christians have been set free from the power of sin, why are we so defeated by it in our lives? And here's why. Let's say I'm a baseball player. And from the time I'm 6 years old to the time I'm 18 years old, I go and take hitting lessons. All right? Every weekend I go and I hit in the cage and somebody teach me how to hit a baseball for 13, 14 years. You know what's going to happen? I'm going to eventually learn how to hit a curveball. All right? Hit a curveball, sit back and wait and take it the other way. I'm going to eventually learn how to hit the ball to right field. Sit back, let it get here, poke it over there. I'm going to learn how to release my top hand in order to get more power. I am going to know how to do all of those things, but if I go out on the field every single Thursday night and I do not practice those things that I know, what's going to happen? I'm going to stink. I'm going to strike out. And I'm going to get defeated. Because, church, victory does not come by knowing facts. It comes by practicing the facts. And you see, in the exact same way, church, victory to our sin doesn't come just by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't come just by knowing the facts that we're dead to sin, alive unto God. It comes by knowing the facts and practicing the facts. Because you see, victory doesn't come in war just because you got a sword on your side. Victory comes when you start using that sword. Am I right? You know what the Bible says? The sword of the Spirit is what? The Word of God. And church, I can literally memorize. This would be awesome. I could memorize Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. I could know every single verse in this Bible. I could know it. Yet if I don't use it in my daily life, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to still be defeated every day. Because I can have this sword at my side, but if I never take it out and use it, I'm still going to get whooped by the devil. I'm still going to get whooped by sin, but you know how you whoop the devil and you know how you whoop sin? Get out your sword and start using it on him. And start practicing what this Word tells us to do. Victory doesn't come just by knowing facts. It comes by practicing the facts. So, secondly, I'm going to give you this and I'm done. You not only need to be informed of your position, you need to be, instructed in your practice. Instructed on how to practice. So we know these facts that we're dead to sin, alive to God. What do we do now? It's two negative things we need to do and one positive. Verse 12 says this, "Let not sin therefore reign." That word reign doesn't mean what's happening outside. That word reign means when a king begins to rule over his subjects. That's what reign means. A king is reigning over some people. And we know what a king does. A king tells people what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. And in verse number 12, sin is given a person. Sin is personified as this king who tells us what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. But God says in verse number 12, because he's no longer your master, because you've been set free from it, what you need to do is stop letting it be king in your life. The question is this, who is king in your life? Who tells you what to do in your life? Is it sin or is it God? Whoever is king is who tells you what to do. But God says here in verse 12, sin is no longer supposed to be king. So you need to stop letting sin tell you what to do. Has anybody ever told you this? You do not have to sin. Has anybody ever told you that? We do not have to give in to temptation. We don't have to. But we have power through the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, to say no. To say no. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this, "There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." In other words, whatever that sin is that keeps tempting you day after day after day after day after day, and you continue to give in day after day after day after day, guess what? You don't have to. Because in that temptation, what God does is He gives you an exit ramp. That right before you make the decision, God says, "I'm giving you a way out. I'm giving you a way out to where you can say, no, you don't have to go that way. Here's your escape. Say no." And that's exactly what the Bible teaches us. Do not let sin lead you. Don't let it tell you what to do because it's no longer our king. Number one, stop letting sin reign. Number two, verse 13 says, "Yield not to sin, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin." Your members there means your body. Don't yield your body unto sin. Listen, when we got saved, the Bible says we have a body, a soul, and a spirit. And when we got saved, God saved our spirit, not our body. See, Brother Carl, if I could just get rid of this body, I'd be okay. I would be okay if I could just get rid of this body, because on the inside my spirit is saved but my body is not. But there is coming a day where our body is going to get saved. We're going to get a brand new body when we meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And it won't be given to sin. But until then, while we're in this body, I'm to stop giving my body as an instrument to sin. You see, nearly every single sin that we commit on a daily basis manifests itself through our body. Pretty obvious. The harsh, immoral, destructive, mean words that we use, guess what? It comes through the tongue. The places we go or the actions that we do are done by our feet. The things that we look at that we're not supposed to look at are our eyes. The things we listen to that we're not supposed to listen to is the ears. The things we touch we're not supposed to touch is our hands. Our body is something that is sin manifests itself through it. So the Bible says we're to stop giving our body as something sin can use as an instrument. But on the contrary, and I'm going to give you this and I'm done. You're not to yield to sin, but thirdly, you're to yield to God. yield your body unto God. You see, God wants our eyes to obey Him. Did you know that? The things that we look at, God wants it to be in obedience to Him. The things we listen to, God wants it to be in obedience to Him. The places we go, the actions that we do with our feet, God wants it to be in obedience to Him. God wants to use our body not as an instrument to sin, but an instrument to serve Him. That is what God has given us this body for, to use it as an instrument to serve Him. And the question this week for you is, how can you give your body as a tool to serve God? How can this week, can you give your body as an instrument, not for sin, but an instrument to serve God? And here's my suggestion. Use your eyes to get in the Word. Use your knees to get on the ground and pray. Put your hands to serve Him and your feet to walk in His will. Use your eyes to get in the Word. Use your knees to get down and pray. Use your hands to serve Him and use your feet to walk the way He wants you to walk. That is how this week you and I can use our body to serve Him. Because the Bible says, whosoever we present our body to, that's whose servants we're going to be. Either we're going to be sin's servants or God's servants. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, I want you to think about this. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. And yet Jesus walked in there and said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus rose from the dead, didn't he? But there was a problem with Lazarus. The Bible says he came out and he was bound hand and foot with grave clothes. They used to wrap them up like mummies in the old days. So Lazarus came alive and he came walking out like a mummy. Grave clothes. Can't nobody live happy or free when you're bound up in clothes that you were dead in? You can't be happy, you can't be free in that. You see what's happened today, church? Is there are a lot of Christians that Jesus has risen from the dead, they are saved, they are going to heaven, but they are still bound up to their old sin. And you know what? You cannot live happy. You can't live free. And you can't be the person in your body God wants you to be when you're still bound up to your old sin. The Bible does not say that you and I are going to live a sinless life, but the Bible does say we don't have to live in that sin. So what God may be asking you to do today, what is that sin that's bound you up? And you're saying, man, it just looks like if I could just get rid of that, I know I'd be happier. What is it? What is it that's bound you? And what God is asking you to do today is this. Ask Him to set you free from it. Ask Him to set you free from the sin that has bound you. And I'm done. In our lives every single day, we have a battle. And that battle is against sin. And the greatest instrument we can use against sin is the Word of God. And I pray this week you'll put your eyes in this Word and your feet to walk in this Word in order to overcome your sin. Musicians, you can come. Father, we want to thank You for Your Word this morning. God, we thank You for the transformation that You made in us when we got saved. And God, thank You that although we don't live sinless lives, Lord, we mess up every single day. We sin against You. The Bible says if we just confess our sins, You're faithful and You're just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God, today I pray that for some that we may be walking around in our sin, God. I pray that we wouldn't hide it. I pray, God, that we would come to You and say, God, we confess our hidden sin, we confess our sin to You right now, God. And we just ask, God, that You would give us power to overcome sin in our lives. Because it is Your will, it is Your desire that we don't live our lives defeated by sin, but we live our lives victoriously over sin. And God, when we gain victory over our sin, it gives glory to You. And it gives a testimony to other people that we do have power over sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. So God, I just pray that You'd help that one person that You wanted to help this morning that may be struggling right now. And God, I do thank You for the power You've given us through the Holy Spirit to overcome whatever tries to defeat us. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen.